WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Tuesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear part one of what I just preached the other day at Island, and it is Holy Communion the right way. I've preached this before. I make it my aim every couple years to keep on preaching it because it's that important that there's a right way, a correct way, a biblical way, and a wrong way to partake of the Lord's Supper. And the consequences, well, Paul said, for those that take it irreverently, like this group was in Corinth, he said, many are weak, many are sick. That's S-I-C-K, sick, the sick kind of sick. For those that think that all sickness comes from the devil, think twice, friend. Taking communion irreverently in the wrong way. Many are weak, many are sick, and many have died. There's a correct way to take communion. That's what we're going to be looking at here today, Tuesday and Wednesday. If you'd like a copy of that, write to me, Paul at WGODradio.com. Download my app, WGOD Radio. You'll see it in there. It's under the tab, Various Bible Teaching on the app. So download the app, WGOD Radio. Download the, you'll see a tab on there that says Various Bible Teaching. Click on that, and it's right there on top, Holy Communion the right way. Right on, right below that, you'll see the murder of John the Baptist that you heard on the radio maybe last week. Or my Easter sermon on the road to Emmaus. It's a whole bunch of great stuff here. If you love the Word of God like I do, then I pray you'll be super energized by hearing these sermons. Because the Word of God, see, it's not me, but I know the secret. And I share it with you. And that is the Word of God is living. Quick, it says in the King James. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God changes lives and sets people on fire for God. Believe me. What He's done for me, He wants to do the same for you. God's no respecter of persons. Sit under and listen to the Word of God. Let it energize you from the inside out. Okay, I'll use this opening too on Wednesday. If it's Wednesday and you're hearing this, you can come by church tonight, 6 o'clock. We'd love to see you. We're in the Gospel of Luke, having an excellent time in the Gospel of Luke. Love to see you here today, Tuesday and Wednesday, Holy Communion the right way. Heretics are part of God's plan. Now, we're just going through this verse by verse. That's why I bring this up. We're looking at this whole passage here. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34. Also, God uses heretics to purge the church. I would say, of those that don't have faith. Now, I know that's a hard saying. But let me get back on point here. Now, we're looking at the corruption of the Lord's Supper, verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. All right. Wow, is he sore at these people, isn't he?
Have you ever heard him so angry in everything he's written? Have you ever seen such a text as this? All right, now here's where they went wrong. We have to have a better understanding of how they took communion there to see where they went wrong. They didn't just pass around the grape juice thimbles that they bought at ChristianBookDistributors.com. They had full-fledged feasts. See, this is what they did. This is what they did in Corinth. This is like our church starts at 10:30. Okay, for everyone here today, all of you guys that put something in the offering plate, all you to-do people, this week we're going to meet at 9:30. Because we don't want to share what we have with those poor people that come in later. So we'll come in at 9:30, and our communion is going to be New York Strip, and it's going to be whatever else you want to think of, lasagna and Chateau Mouton Rothschild, 1953. Oh, wait a minute. This is the year 30. All right. Mouton Rothschild, the year 28. And this is what their communion was. They sat around eating all this food and drinking and getting drunk. And then when poor people came in, they had nothing. And they thought this was communion. And wow, did this make Paul mad. Treating other people, treating people different in the church. This is why he's so mad. And this is why we're going to read what happened to these guys for doing this and treating people different in the church. There's a right way and a wrong way to take communion. And these guys, apparently, as we're about to read, were doing it the wrong way. Verse 22, he says, what? Or we could say, are you stinking, are you crazy? Don't you remember what happened to those when they tried to move the ark of God and one of them reached out and touched it and a lightning bolt comes down and kills the guy and he's down here on the ground? He wasn't even trying to do anything wrong. And God said, all those that approach me must regard me as holy. God is a holy God. You must approach him that way. Even if it's good-natured what you do, even if it's good-natured, God is holy. You have to approach him that way. You have to. No sinner can stand in his presence. You need surgery to stand in the presence of God. And thank God he's done it for us. Okay, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and disgrace those who do not have? What shall I say? Shall I praise you in this? No, I do not praise you. All right, that brings us to point number three. Point number three, the real meaning of the Lord's Supper. The real meaning of the Lord's Supper, verse 23. This is the verses you'll hear me read every month at the end of the month, starting now. For I received from the Lord. Notice how important it is. He shows you where he got it from. He didn't read it in a textbook. He didn't read it in a history book. Paul received direct revelation from Jesus Christ on how you are to do communion. He said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, during the night in which he was betrayed, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, during the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And having given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You don't take communion flipping around a basket around the place, telling people to take and eat willy-nilly. This is a holy thing. We're remembering what Jesus did by dying in our place on the cross. It's a serious thing. Not one to be done irreverently. He says, do this in remembrance of me. I wrote in my Bibles here this morning, just the Lord's words. Jesus, remember me. That's his word to us today. Remember me. That's what he wants you to know. Remember me. Remember me today. Remember what I did on the cross. Remember that God loves you so much. Romans 5 and 8. God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember me. That's what this is about. That's what he says. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Some translations say New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Then he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what Holy Communion is. What's the real meaning of communion? Right here in verse 24. Do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Have a meal, so to speak. Like Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving really is Holy Communion, right? We're giving thanks to God for what he's done. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for taking our sins upon him and dying in our place. Do this in remembrance of me. And by reconciling you back to God is what we're remembering. We're remembering that Jesus was the mediator. Jesus, there's been a separation problem between you and God. God's way up here, your way down here. That's why Paul said there is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Just like that old picture, remember? God up here pointing his finger down. Adam up here trying to, and they can't connect. The thing is, the great thing is, hallelujah, is Jesus connects us for us. We touch him. He touches the Father. And now we are one. Again, there is one mediator for all of us. It's the man, Jesus Christ. That's good news. Otherwise, we'd be separated and lost forever. So that's what it is. God took a body, gave up his life, so that he could reconcile you, the Son, back to the Father. Where God can obliterate all of your sins. It's the only thing God has amnesia with, your sins. You see, that's why you don't flip this stuff around aisles. We're talking about something that's powerful enough to cause an almighty God to have amnesia with your sins. See, this is serious stuff. To cause God to enable him to do that, forget all of your sins. It's serious stuff. It needs to be taken serious. Because he takes your sins seriously. You and I have a sin problem. Thank God the Son of God came in alongside us, took our sins for us, died on the cross. And the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness or the remission of sins. We read another place that God nailed your sins to the cross. And he doesn't remember them anymore. That's good news. We remember them, but he doesn't. Okay, We've covered that amply. Let's go to number four. Now, I'm just the delivery boy here, right? I didn't write this, right? The severe consequences of irreverence. Verse 27 starts with the word therefore. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord irreverently will be guilty of the body of the Lord and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man or woman examine himself. In other words, break out the mirror. Take a good look at yourself. Examine yourself. Let a man examine himself, and in this way let him eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For he that, this is verse 29, 1 Corinthians 11:29, he who eats or drinks irreverently eats and drinks judgment to himself, not judging correctly the body of the Lord. Wow, that reminds me of that Indiana Jones movie. You ever see that? The Last Crusade, when they're searching for the Holy Grail, and they get in there, and the bad guy finds the cup, fills it up with water, and drinks it, and he turns into a skeleton. Ah, and his hair falls, and he drops down dead. You remember that movie? And then the knight goes, turns at him, and says, he is chosen poorly. They got that out of the Bible. Because, well, that's exactly what happened to that guy, and that's apparently is what's happened here to these people in this text. Taking communion for the wrong reasons, not understanding that this is sacred, that this represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Better be careful how you do it, or you're going to end up like that guy there. Skeleton boy. Here's how the King James reads in verse 29. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, that is, not recognizing that there's more to this than you realize. There's more to this than you realize, friend. Verse 30, because of this, that is, irreverence towards God and not realizing what this is. Because of this, verse 30, many among you are weak and sick, and many have died. I guess that movie wasn't all that far-fetched, huh? Many are weak, many are sick, and many have died. You see, now your head might not explode anymore like Indiana Jones, but God is still sovereign today. And he's still holy. All right, so for this irreverent act, many are, number one, many are weak. Two, people are sickly today because they take communion flippantly without understanding what it is, what you're doing. And number three, people are dead because of it. Notice 2 points. Number one, God still rules over sickness today. Come on, people. God rules over sickness. And number two, not all sickness is of the devil, contrary to popular belief. You can be sick. Well, he just says it right here, from taking communion the wrong way. You can be sick because of sin. You can be sick because of the devil, too. We read that in the Bible, too. Many people are sick because Satan has made them sick. But sometimes sickness is of the Lord. Believe God at his word. There's no commanding your healing. Try repenting for your healing and following what the Bible says for healing. All right, consequence number one, or end result. Guilty of the body and guilty of the blood. Yikes, who wants to be guilty of that here this morning on the 26th of June? Can you imagine that? Guilty of the body and guilty of the blood of the Son of God himself, of all the things you could be guilty of here today. You could be guilty of watering your lawn on a Monday. You could be guilty of Pastor Jim driving by you while you put fertilizer on your lawn. Don't try that at home either. You could be guilty of blowing through a stop sign. You could be guilty of voting Republican, a high crime in this country. But rather, God speaking, I find you guilty of the body and guilty of the blood of the Son of God. For treating communion like M&Ms. Now, this is a hard saying, and I need help. We need help. This from John MacArthur. Quote, to come to the Lord's table clinging to one's sin does not only dishonor the ceremony, but it dishonors his body and his blood. Treating lightly the gracious sacrifice of Christ for us, it is necessary, listen to what he says, this is what we're going to do in 5 minutes. It is necessary to set all sin before the Lord, then to partake so as not to mock the sacrifice for sin by holding on to it. See, this is why I salute the Catholic Church. They're the only guys that got it right. You see, they fear this happening to you, which is why the Catholic Church won't let you have communion if you're not a member of that church. Because they take this verse literally, like you should. I don't know how many funerals I've been to in a Catholic church. I'm a pastor. They won't even let me have communion because they understand the word. A lot of things they do I don't agree with, but boy, this is one that's right up there that I do. They won't let strangers take communion because they fear you turning into skeleton head as well. All right, I'm being facetious. But the Bible says you could be sick and ill, and these things can happen to you if you take communion the wrong way. All you got to do is take communion the right way. That's all. It's simple. Honor, remember Jesus. He said, remember me. That's all we got to do is remember him. Which brings me to number 5. Last one is the right approach. The right approach to the Lord's Supper. Verse 31. If we judge ourselves correctly, verse 31, if we judge ourselves correctly, you all get that, right? God, I'm a sinner. I've dropped the ball. I can't do this walk without you. I've sinned against you this week. This is what the word confess means. The word homo legeo means to speak the same thing. It means you agree with God. He already knows about it. You agree with God. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord. Listen to what he says. When we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Meaning you can't lose your salvation over this. It's not talking about salvation. God's not going to treat you the same way he's going to treat an unbeliever. But you can be disciplined for doing this the wrong way. Not lose your salvation. So then, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I'll arrange when I come. So to judge ourselves rightly means to take time right now prior to communion to confess your sins to the Lord and to repent. I encourage you some other time maybe or now if you'd like to ask the Lord in prayer, Lord, show me the unconfessed sin in my life, so that I can turn and repent. But let's pray together as a church family. And I encourage you now, if there's personal sins you need to turn and repent of, we're going to do that with every head bowed now. Let's pray together and let's take communion the right way. Lord, we exalt you today. You say in your word that all have sinned and come short of your glory. We come to you as sinners. Saints, some people call us saints, some people call us sinners. This we know, that we've sinned against you, a holy God. Thank you for Jesus, that his death was not in vain, that his death and the shedding of his blood is powerful enough for you to obliterate my sins and remember them no more. So, Lord, at this time I pray, forgive me. Forgive me for these sins I've committed against you, Lord. Forgive me as the pastor here for the sins of omission. Forgive me for the things I should have done here as pastor and I neglected to, or I dropped the ball. Forgive me for the sins I've committed as regular Paul in my own life. Sins against my wife. Sins against you. Sins against my job and my boss. I confess and agree with you, Lord. I'm a sinner. And I just pray right now, Lord, cleanse me of all unrighteousness as I confess my sins to you. Obliterate my sins here today so that when I and we walk out these doors here today, we will be as pure as the driven snow with no sins on us. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Jesus didn't say it perhaps might be nice in some unfortunate situations if peradventure you might just have a new birth. No, he said, you must be born again. It's an absolute prime requisite. Do you know what we've begun to do today? We've begun to talk about Christians in categories. We say, well, he's a born-again Christian. May I tell you very plainly, that's the only kind there is? There's no other kind. To say he's a born-again Christian is redundant. It's like saying female woman or tooth dentist. There's no other kind of a Christian except born-again Christian. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. If you are born again, you are a Christian. And that's the only kind of Christian there is those who've been born again. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." And when Jesus describes salvation in the figure of a birth, that's something we can all relate to.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.